in response to British and French calls for the Syrian president to step down. Syria also said that its priority in Geneva will be to discuss the elimination of terrorism. The Western-backed Free Syrian Army has rejected the Geneva meeting and says it will continue fighting during and after the talks. The Union of Powerful Islamist Fighters has gone even further, threatening to put on trial anyone who attends talks that do not deliver Assad's ouster.
El Mundo leads with a report saying the Basque Regional Chief Minister Iñigo Urkullu of the Basque Nationalist Party has presented a plan to Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy for the release from prison of some 450 jailed members of the Basque terrorist organization ETA. The plan, it says, provides for a progressive release of prisoners that would leave only 150 ETA members in prison. Under a photograph of Basque Popular Party politician,
men were starting, fade away, nobody treats you like mother will.
And hello, if you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio, with the Angry Indian, on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
To you, but Baron Northern Hill, prove untrue, nobody treats you like mother will. And mother is dead, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web. ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
You basically knowing my ideology, basically you know, and yours, you can support some of our programs. That what you're saying?
Why not?
And you believe in programs like the Best of the Children program and Free Health Clinic. Right on, brother.
We believe they're good things.
Uh-huh.
As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
There's no educational program here?
That's some of the social action thing. You know, you set that up, but I mean, we can't put everything on one piece of paper.
What about this bank?
Credit Union?
Mm-hmm.
Credit Union. Credit Union, my brother.
It is a bank.
Are you hip to a credit union?
It is a bank.
Yeah,
are you going and buying money?
Yeah, it's a bank. It's owned by the people, run for the people. And by the people.
What would money be given out to people for?
Well, the people would decide that. You want to buy, you know, whatever, you know, the people in the community decide.
You need some living room furniture, maybe? You need a car, maybe?
See, the thing is with me, Dig, I need to know some more about it. I wish you had some more literature about the education thing. Because, Dig, as far as we're concerned, you're struggling. The way we look at struggling. Is that this depends on the education thing, dude. Because
this depends on the education. Well, the whole thing.
No, but in the end, this does. You can form this with no education. You can form this.
No, not the way we're talking about forming it. You know, right. We're talking about forming it right. You know, it's not on the paper. We didn't write it on the paper.
Form it right with no education.
No.
Let me give you an example. Jomo Kenyatta formed the excellent revolution with no education. And on the day of the end thing, Jomo told the motherfucker, I said, well, you know, you've been educated to hate the enemy, but I'm your brother. I helped you lead the revolution. Now I'm more oppressed. Another example, Papa Doc in Haiti. Papa Doc in Haiti hated everything white. Man, you couldn't put this white paper in front of Papa Doc's face. But he moved all the white people out and he took over and be oppressed. He did. Called him no education. And the people that have been educated, they just said that we don't hate the motherfucking white people. We hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow. We got to know your educational program to find out what is going to be in the finale. A lot of people work. Jomo Kenyatta is called not a never a revolutionary, but an ex-revolutionary. So it's Papa Doc. They brought on a successful revolution. That thing in the Mau-Mau's was a bitch. Bantu freedom fighters, all that kind of action. What we're saying is the end. But you don't judge Castro now. You can't do it. Nobody in this room could judge whether Castro's going to be a revolutionary or not. You know what I mean? We're talking about things, you know what I mean, with China, the People's Republic, and even at the stage they're in now, talking about even going on further into a communistic state. That's what we're talking about. That was a revolution. So we got to understand here the educational program that you have to be able to figure out whether it will go on the right lines, where the people will end up in a situation where they can be able to really control themselves. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, the people that take this local foundation start stealing money because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, you have neo-colonialism instead of colonialism like you got in Africa 9, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be an educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, it's so important for us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before he can consider himself a member of the party, able to even run down ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in the emotionalist movement. You understand? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we'll have Negro imperialists.
Yeah, brother, the reason we don't do a lot of talking is because what you say is a foregone conclusion with us.
Yeah, well, see, brother, the reason I do a lot of talking is because there's no foregone conclusion to me.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land!
Guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for the smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Inteligente de Indigena.
I'm sorry they never invented the motherfucking wheel. I'm sorry. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Boo-fucking-hoo. Fuck a bunch of Indians. I'm sick of hearing about are we supposed to boo-hoo over goddamn Indians. The shit was 120 years ago. Fucking get over it. Nobody fucking 150 years ago is making you drink now. Fucking dry up, you fucking bunch of alcoholics, and go get a real fucking job. Cut that fucking hair. Bon Jovi cut his. You should cut yours. This shit is done, son. It's done. Fuck you, bunch of Indians. Fuck the Indians. I'm sorry they as a group never made it to the Bronze Age. I'm sorry they never invented the motherfucking wheel. I'm sorry. Boo hoo 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 hoo. Boo fucking hoo. Fuck the Indians. Maybe if they had done some of that shit, we would have taken their country with three smallpox blankets and a bag of beads. Fuck a bunch of Indians. Fuck.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from AboriginalNewsWire.tumblr.com and AboriginalPress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliteral, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, and I wish peace to the gods and the earths, and love and solidarity to the entire original family in this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and I'm here, as always, when I can get her to separate herself from her many other creative projects and from taking care of her family, Guadalupe Morales, who shares executive producer credit with me. I just say executive producer in terms of I just bring up what I'm going to talk about mostly and sit here and look at her through the window while she does the rest. And I appreciate it. So I want to let her know. Because, I think it's appropriate to tell people who you appreciate that you appreciate them. Dig what I'm saying? And, the people who graciously donate us studio time when we don't have anything to give them, right? Right? We do this because we want to. And, we know that the majority of people out there who really need to hear this don't have credit cards, don't have iPhones, you dig? They don't have Macs, iMacs, Air. They don't have these devices. So, they don't have money. They don't have any goddamn thing. They're just trying to survive right here, man. But they still need to be informed, you dig? So, we do what we can, on the on as much of a non-monetized basis as we possibly can, One, because we don't really have it, and second, to show you out there that there's an entire environment on the internet when you move through the muck, open source, freeware. It's just a lot out there. You have open platforms. Google, which is trying to take over the entire goddamn planet. They have what they got going on. You have Blogspot. We've been there for many years, had our ups and downs, been censored, what have you. But, still, you can't really get around using Google, can you? You can't get around email. And it's really hard to get through the search engine. And so you might as well use the pages. That's what I say. Use all of the resources. Why not? And, free speech being what it is. There's crap out there too. It is what it is. The internet is what it is. And that's what we're going to talk about. Indigenous people and the internet and how we process news. And, further, the ridiculousness that I'm seeing on the left in the U.S., no place else. The left in, Mexico to the south and in occupied Canada to the north of me, they understand what that means. Left, right, black, white, right, wrong. Dig what I'm saying? But in the States, well, it's a progressive, I suppose, to have the Navajo code talkers, attend a special ceremony around Thanksgiving, at a Washington Redskins game. Explain this to me, somebody. Now, there's actually two incidences, and this is where the internet's going to come in, because there was another weird article, which I believe was in the Washington Post, of what they call Nava Jews. Never heard of it. No one's ever identified me that way, you know. I know people who are Native and Jewish, but I've never heard Nava Jews before, right? So, you know, I'm looking at this article, and it's basically on how this Indian woman is doing Thanksgiving, you know, which is already suspect, and then she's married to a Jewish guy. All right, fine. So she incorporates Hanukkah items into the fry bread and whatever she's doing, you know. It was just, you know, just like with the Cold Talkers and the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving. Complete colonialist mindfuck. What else can you call it? What else can you call it, man? Indians practicing Thanksgiving. It is fucking crazy. It's fucking insane. And this is why we were trying to do at least on my end anyway, you know, with the interview part, I put a shout out there on Twitter. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at The Angry Indian. And so, yeah, just wanted to put out there, we have a new email now that's specific to this podcast. You can email us at aboriginalrajo@gmx.se. It's Aboriginal, spelled the usual way, and Rajo, spelled the Pinoy way. RADYO@gmx.se. Drop us a line. You know, let us know what you think. You know, let us know what's going through your mind, you know, with this show. Let us know what you like to hear. Let us know what you like me to talk to the guests about. Let us know who you like us to talk to. You know, hey, let us know if you think you have something to say and you want to come on the show and be heard. It's all there for you. Aboriginal Radio with a Y at at gmx.se. See, you know, Filipinos out there would know what's going on, but I don't know. For the rest of you, I guess you didn't get the memo. So, hey, what can I tell you? Look here, man. So, you know, we're going back to these mind fucks that are going on in the colonialist world and how the left really doesn't know how to cope with it. You know, which is really my motherfucking topic, man. Because I'm really tired of getting into, you know, crawls and stupid misunderstandings like a fucking Seinfeld show, you know, over nonsense that people that are supposed to be on the goddamn left really don't fucking, you know, they it's like operating without a clue. I don't goddamn get this. And now this whole pronoun thing in terms of gender and who you like to, you know, who you like to get down with and what have you, since it's really nobody's goddamn business, you know. I'm really at this point, it's all stupid. It's all stupid, you know. Especially people who are supposed to be goddamn progressives. You know, how are you supposed to argue against the Redskins and then say, well, we should not criticize, you know, the Cold Talkers for even showing up to an event like that? You can't criticize their service. Why not? Why not? You know, they were not fighting for Indian rights, okay? Now, if they got drafted and sent there, well, hey, man, you know, you do what you have to do when you come home. But I'm not going to applaud you for, you know, here it is, that these Europeans come and take your land, and then you serve in their military. Explain the logic in that to me, that you're supposed to have pride in something like that. If they drafted you, that's one thing. But I will, you know, argue with anybody, and I continue to argue with Native vets about this, you know, who are willing to talk to me about it, instead of just say I'm supposed to just shut up and accept whatever the hell that they say and offer no goddamn comment, you know. But then you want to talk about how Indians are being treated bad. Well, this is why Indians are being treated bad, brother and sister. Because you accept, we accept, and I'm including my African brothers and sisters too, especially my African brothers and sisters who are also Native. This nonsense that we cannot criticize people who are siding with the establishment
And I'm not talking about, again, let me be clear here, because I do not want to be taken out of context, because I know that I'm going to be purposely taken out of context. I know for many Native people who just heard what I said, they already shut down. They've already shut down. They don't want to hear anything more I have to say. Because, you know, these men went and did the warrior thing, right? The warrior thing. You can't get any more goddamn stereotypical when you're talking about Indians and talking about the warrior thing. That's what this whole mascot controversy is about. Or am I mistaken and there's something I don't understand about this? Let's talk about the paradoxes here, all right? So you have, you know, Native men who either joined because, you know, they were trying to fulfill some obligation that they felt they owed to this white man who came and occupied them and wiped out their people. And let me be clear here, too, because somebody else is going to take this out of goddamn context. The Navajo are victims and are, well, not victims. Well, actually, yes, they are victims. But, you know, it's kind of like when you say victim to white people, then it implies past tense. No, they are victims. You think the colonialism against the Navajo or the Dene people stopped? Are you reading the news in Arizona? Are you kidding me? They're painting over the faces of the goddamn murals over there to make the brown faces white. You think that they're stopping Mexican Indians who speak Spanish or down there in Arizona? No, they're stopping Dene people too. And didn't they lie about Lori Paestua? Who really knows? I'm not a member of her family. And again, before somebody tries to take me purposely out of context, I am not attempting to speak for her or her family. But if she went and served in the military, then what, you're going to say that she's also beyond, you know, talking about? And I'm not dissing her. I'm dissing the fact of what the United States military propaganda machine did to her. Private First Class Jessica Lynch said that the story that they gave about how the two of them got into that accident, what happened, and her bullshit fake-ass rescue was just that. It was fake. It was fake. They lied in the press and said that Sister Paestua, and she is my sister, and every Native woman out here on this continent, on both of these continents, is my sister. Whatever her reasons were, that was up to her. She made her own decision. But from what I understand, like a lot of Native people, she did it so she could put food on the table back home. And if she really believed in the system, well, again, that's up to her. I can't speak on that. But I can say this much. She went in and did whatever the hell she was supposed to do honorably, and they lied about what happened to use her as propaganda. And you know what Indian people did? They didn't do anything. They just took it. They just accepted that because it would have been disrespectful, right, to say that they were misusing her memory and her service and her existence and her being a Native woman as propaganda on why Natives need to join the service and go help them colonialize somebody else and steal their resources. Because that's what it was about. And if you're going to tell me that that's not what it was about, well, you need to come with some real hard evidence instead of just giving me your fucking opinion that certain Indians who serve in the U.S. military are beyond discussion. That's nonsense. That's like saying that the soldiers that were involved in My Lai were beyond reproach. Pinkville was just one case. How many villages in Vietnam were burned out? How many women were raped? How many children were slaughtered? Are you kidding me? How much damage? How many drugs were brought out of there during that goddamn conflict? You know, what the hell was going on? Who was bringing them out? Who created the Golden Triangle? You know, so you're going to tell me, yes, well, we need to, just take all of these Native people, let them use us as propaganda. You know, I mean, I've read, I don't know how many goddamn articles in the military press and, you know, and the pro-military press talking about, well, you know, the Indian warrior tradition is what makes the American army complete. Well, we took their land and we, you know, we name our sports teams in mock names of them. And then, you know, we name things Mohawk and Tomahawk and Geronimo. You know, read one of my books that I co-wrote with I'm Not a Mascot and Vagabond. You know, these are two brothers that you can follow on Twitter as well. You know, three native sons discuss Operation Geronimo, right? Semantic genocide. Look for it. It's on the sites. The links are there. You know, it's out there. Cop that. And tell me if you don't, you know, think that what happened this past week, right? With them bringing these elders. You know, anybody that says I'm disrespecting these men is a fucking sucker. They let themselves be disrespected by these white bigots who own the goddamn Washington Redskins to solidify and codify their fucking racism. That is an insult to motherfucking Indian people. If we say it's offensive, that's the goddamn end of it. And we can explain why it's motherfucking offensive, because we know what the fuck Redskin means. And you got all these goddamn schools and names. You got Squad This, you know, Red's Going That. You got Niggerhead Ranch down there in Texas with fucking Good Hair Rick Perry, right? So, you know, here it is. You know, here it is. You got Indian people who should be standing up there and telling these goddamn white people what time it is. Standing there honorably. Why their people are being insulted wearing Redskins jackets, and I'm supposed to sit here and say nothing. See, this is the same thing I say to black people. You call yourself a nigger? You dummies out there, because it's not all of us, but you young fools out here who think Kanye West is some kind of a fucking genius. Kanye West isn't making any fucking sense about anything. Now he's making comments about Jews and oil and calling himself the next Warhol. What the fuck is he talking about? Is he fucking for, I mean, really, Lupe, is he goddamn serious? You know, Confederate flags and shit? What the fuck is wrong? You know, I mean, you young cats, I don't understand any of you. I don't. I admit it. The generation gap, motherfucking right with me, man, you know. I see it. I acknowledge it. There's a definite generation gap between, you know, those of us who have some common fucking sense and understand how we got to this point, and young people who think the world started when they were goddamn birthed. Don't know a motherfucking thing. Don't have a pot to piss in, but then want to tell you how the world turns. And it's like, hey, man, you know, learn to shut the fuck up and listen to your goddamn elders. That's how the fuck I'm still here because of that shit. And when I hear, you know, native people that want to fucking talk shit like that, and it's like, without elders, fucking, you wouldn't be here. And the whole reason we got all these goddamn gang problems and motherfucking, you know, the alcoholism is just completely goddamn, you know, rampant. The drug abuse is rampant. The sexual diseases are rampant. We're in and out of the goddamn system. I mean, yeah, you know, some of this was just going to happen anyway because of the colonialist situation. But by not listening to the elders any goddamn more, this is what happened. Because, you know, well, we're listening to these white experts. We're not going to listen to our own fucking people. Every community that I can look at internationally that has cut themselves off in their traditional ways, usually by cutting themselves off in their elders' teachings and the respect that elders were given, collapsed. And I'm watching it happen right the fuck now. You know, grandparents don't even have any goddamn say anymore in their families. And, you know, you can see it. You can see it. To not have your aunts and uncles and shit to give you guidance, common sense guidance any goddamn way, you can see it. I mean, yeah, it was irritating to me when I was young to have to, you know, be hit with all this Bible nonsense and, you know, you keep getting told the same thing over and goddamn over like a broken record. But I mean, you know, when I think about it now, I was able to make, you know, correct and logical and positive goddamn decisions behind that. Because when you look at a lot of the malfeasance that goes on, a lot of this shit is because we walk right the fuck into it. Because, you know, we somehow think we can beat the motherfucking odds. Because white people have it set up here that, you know, their system is supposedly about that. That you can beat the motherfucking odds. That you can have somebody that knows absolutely nothing, but if they have this idea that somehow money comes, fame comes, you know, and you don't have to worry about anything anymore. Which is a lie. Which is a lie. So, you know, when these motherfuckers are talking about ghetto fabulous and shit, what the fuck are you talking about? Those diamonds are coming from your brothers that were sacrificing and shit and still sacrificing under the goddamn African National Congress. Do you really think the beers left? Do you think the Anglo-American Corporation is still not running shit in South Africa? Are you demented? Nothing ever fucking changed. You know, it's just like here. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you got a brown cat in the White House, but so what? He acts like a white dude. So you got the ANC, you got black people in their government. And what are they doing? They're acting like the white government that was before them. The only difference is there's no legal racial separation. But the poor are still the goddamn poor. You know, they uplifted a minor African middle class that's doing every fucking thing he can, you know, possibly to keep the rest of Africa, black Africa, bereft. You know, they created this black buffer middle class, and they're doing exactly what black, you know, what buffer middle classes do. I was going to say black buffer middle classes, but that's bullshit. You know, because, see, that's something else that the left has got to motherfucking get over. This idea that, you know, the left doesn't make any mistakes. You know, because, that's how you got this guy that's in the White House right now, right? I mean, isn't this how you got Obama? I mean, think about this. Think about this. Everybody assumed that because Barack Obama is a black man, that he was going to be about justice. You see, and, you know, you turn around and you voted for him again because, well, you kind of had to because there was no fucking alternatives, right? We saw the goddamn alternatives. You know, we saw the motherfucking, you know, alternatives and shit. You know, this motherfucker, Paul Ryan, I mean, it was just like watching Batman and Robin with this motherfucker. And what was it? Lupe, who was he listening to? System of a Down, right? Or whoever the fuck he was. You know, I mean, here's this big-time goddamn libertarian capitalist talking this bullshit. And Ayn Rand was on fucking welfare. I can say, because I was earning a paycheck at that goddamn time. I was one of the motherfuckers paying her goddamn bills. So, you know, no, fuck all this, man. Fuck all this, man. You know, I mean, look at the goddamn contradictions to see how, you know, your shit is not working. I mean, political alchemy is just that. It's alchemy. You know, you might get a, you know, some extra knowledge out of it on the side. But after a while, you know, who's the bigger fool? You know, the power that's oppressing you, or you for continuing to do the same bullshit that doesn't work? Because what it really comes down to, the most of you in the American left, and when I say the American left, I'm specifically talking about the United States, most of you really want to be a part of the system. You really want to be a part of the establishment. You want to be the mainstream. You're not trying to fix the situation. You want to replace the fucked up elements that you see, or you consider to be fucked up, with yourself. You know, I mean, that's my whole thing about Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones is one of those, you know, really, you know, smug. I'm the smartest kind of motherfucker. I'm the smartest motherfucker in the room, you know. And everybody else is a dummy. And I should be king. So, you know, because I know more than everybody else. And, you know, I can look at all these conspiracy theories. And, you know, I know I'm smarter because they don't see the conspiracies that I see. And, you know, people like Alex Jones see conspiracies everywhere, but within their own goddamn sphere. You know, hubris does a lot of damage to the left, but they don't realize it. I mean, we're looking at something right now that in Europe would be a political fucking gift to the fucking left. You have a completely stupid fucking Republican Party. You have a completely stupid Tory Party up in goddamn Canada. You got crackheads and shit on both goddamn sides in the Republicans. Closeted homosexuals who are out here trying to pass anti-gay laws. Well, the thing about the fucking two Republicans, what, Rob Ford and, I don't know his name, Lupe, and don't even bother to try to put up on the screen, because who gives a fuck, right? Whatever this clown's name is, who didn't tell John Boner while he was having another fucking liquor lunch and shit that he actually got busted for goddamn crack. He waited like a fortnight before he said anything about it, right? You know, all these honest GOP motherfuckers, you know, we're about straight up honesty and transparency and quick, I mean, whatever, shut the fuck up. Just a bunch of lying motherfuckers. We know you had a son of a bitch down here in the South, Republican, GOP, pretended that he was black so he could get elected as a Republican in a majority black goddamn district and just laughed at everybody and said, well, that's the fault of the niggas because they were stupid enough to vote for me. And this is the bullshit that Republicans were saying online. Well, if they were dumb enough to vote for him like that because they thought he was black, well, this is what I'm saying. And the left doesn't even know how to respond to bullshit like this other than to say, you're a racist. You know, which means what? It doesn't mean a motherfucking thing. That's just stating a goddamn fact to somebody that facts don't matter. See, you're just wasting your motherfucking breath and shit saying something like that. You know, why waste up your life force, with, you know, trying to explain, you know, logic and shit to a fool? You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, and it's like you're dealing with Republicans that are complete idiots. You're dealing with a Republican Party that's totally fucking stupid. This is not Eisenhower's goddamn Republican Party. You know? And Barry Goldwater, I mean, he was a fucking, you know, racist son of a bitch, and he was native. I don't know how many of you know that. You know, Barry Goldwater was, you know, part Indian. Or Indian, as far as I'm goddamn concerned. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people don't think about that shit, but he was an Indian that thought like a goddamn white man. He was racist as hell. But like Malcolm X said, at least he was fucking honest. You knew what you were getting with him. You know, and at least politically, he made more motherfucking sense than what the hell you see going on now. But this is not the Republican Party of old. This is not Lincoln's liberal Republican fucking party, is it? And the Democrats have pretty much went back to their old goddamn ways, you know, the second. Because we got to point that out. There were two civil rights bills, which means that the first one wasn't worth the fucking paper it was goddamn printed on. You know, was it 1865 and then 1964, right? You know, fucking five. So it's like, what the fuck, man? You got two goddamn civil rights bills, and you still got discrimination cases that are being settled out of court because you got a bunch of fucking dummies out here who just take the money and run instead of doing justice. Follow the fucking case through. Expose these bastards for what the fuck they are. But no, you take the motherfucking money and then you haul ass. You know, so it's like, no, why should I take you seriously? Why should I take you if you're going to call yourself a, you know, left-wing progressive? Why should I fucking take you seriously? If the fucking conservatives in Europe act like this, in Asia act like this, in South America act like this, Africa is just total fucking chaos and will stay chaos as long as white people still have their hand on their finger in every goddamn pie in Africa. And see, and we'll continue to get stuck with people like Mugabe. Like I said, Mugabe was a real, you know, bright light at one goddamn time. But like a whole lot of other motherfuckers in Africa, he just decided that he didn't want to leave any motherfucking more. So he just continues to manipulate shit, so he stays there. So he might as well just, you know, fucking come right out and say he's president for life and stop bullshitting everybody. You know, and no, I'm not going to support motherfucking Mugabe. And, you know, I can't. I supported Mugabe in the past. I cannot support him now. You know, and all of you cats that are black, that consider yourself to be RGB, which, again, leans to the motherfucking left, especially if you're going to quote the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And please don't play fucking semantic games with me, because I'm not in the mood. They were handing out the fucking little red book. So let's not, you know, let's be fucking serious. You know, they made it really goddamn clear, man. We just can't support people because they're fucking black. I mean, black faces in high places has really just done nothing but give us a lot of goddamn black eyes. You know, and right now it's easy to look at Obama and shit, and it's easy to look at his Justice Department, and look at all, and, you know, with the state, everybody. You know, you got all these goddamn black people here throughout this shit. But you had Colin Powell in the Republican Party and Condoleezza Rice. What the fuck did they ever do for black people other than profile? You know, Condoleezza Rice was buying shoes on vacation in it was New York City, right? To see a fucking musical, Spamalot, Spamalot. She was down there buying shoes and being cussed out by people in a mall. You know, because here all these black people are dying in Louisiana doing Katrina, and she's buying shoes and attending a play and didn't make a fucking statement, didn't say nothing. But she's black, right? And if you want to believe the rumors about her, closeted, which, you know, I don't motherfucking care. That's her goddamn business, right? You know, that's her fucking business. You know, they did the same thing to Janet Reno. That's her goddamn business. So the fuck what? But don't motherfucking tell me that your Republican Party is about truth and all that shit when they're out here, you know, passing anti-gay motherfucking laws and excusing Dick Cheney's, you know, gay daughter who's married to a woman where they have two test tube children. You know, all of that was ignored until recently because her sister's been coming out after her because they're trying now to get some fucking credibility on that piece of hypocrisy that I've been talking about for damn near 2 years. For better than 2 years, I've been talking about this. You know, I mean, it's just as blatant as motherfucking Rush Limbaugh's racism and his goddamn OxyContin hypocrisy. You know, but nobody says anything about it. Nobody says anything about it. You know, nobody wants to come out and say that, you know, the Republican Party's full of nebbishes. You know, nobody wants to do that because it's considered impolite. It's bad politics. But they'll insult Republicans all goddamn day. I mean, Democrats all goddamn day long. But they don't say anything. And we already know that, you know, the Democrats are just suckers because Pelosi's admitted this already. Look at Truefout. Look at Alternet, where she's admitted, well, we have to stop calling the Republican Party. Well, why are you calling the Republican Party to goddamn begin with? Here, they're doing everything possible to obstruct government. They just shut everything goddamn down. This is the second time that they've done this. And now you got Peter King, real nutcase, man. Real piece of work. He's on the intelligence, one of these Senate committees. He's a former fucking Irish Republican Army supporter. The only reason he's a former fucking IRA supporter, a former fucking, you know, right, Irish Republican, is only because they, as a group, I suppose, I read this in the BBC, they put out a statement saying that they were totally against the U.S. invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. So because of that, he dropped it. So what that means is, to me, or anybody else that's got any goddamn Cartesian common sense, that if they had not said anything and just had that opinion and never made a fucking official statement about it, he would still be supporting the fucking IRA. Now, I'm not the one that's making the fucking argument out here that the IRA is a terrorist group. The fucking U.S. government said that the IRA is a terrorist group. I mean, how many of those cats have been working, they found working in bars in Boston and shit? You know, and where the fuck else up there in New England, wherever it is, with the Irish community up there, Rhode Island, right? That they were trying to dodge and shit, and they found him here. They sent them right the fuck back. You know, so it's like, what the hell are you talking about, man? You know, fucking please. You know, so what you're saying is that, you know, the violence that you approve of is okay. You know, because that's really what you're saying. You know, you're not saying that all violence is bad. You're just saying some violence is goddamn bad. I mean, which says to me that you're a sick son of a bitch. You know, anybody that fucking, you know, says that it's okay when one group does this and another group does. No, that's bullshit. And I know somebody's going to come up with some reverse racism thing. Save it. You know, can minorities be racist? Only when they have power. So how many times, how many situations can you really fucking think of, honestly, in which minorities have a hell of a lot of fucking power? I mean, outside of a black person, say, owning an apartment building and not renting to a white person or not renting to a Mexican or some shit, well, that's possible. And that's actually racism because they actually have the power to deny this person something based on their prejudices or based on what some fucking bullshit social rule that nobody wants to admit to. But everybody acknowledges, and he uses that, he or she, to reject this person. That's racism. Simply saying, hey, Whitey, or hey, Spick, you know, I don't fucking like you. That's not racism. That's ethnic bigotry, ethnic bias. But that's not a power situation. It can be a power situation. It can be a part of a power situation, but that's not power in and of itself, right? That's just words. And of course, words have meaning. Don't take me out of context. Which, again, I'm going to get to the internet in a minute when I go to this next thing, or go back to this Navajo bit. And, you know, this ridiculous, you know, discussion I had with somebody on Twitter about this was led to a fucking even more goddamn ridiculous fucking bullshit with somebody else. And again, you know, if I ask these people, are you right wing? They'll say no. So, you know, then if I say left, well, then don't pigeonhole me. So then what? You're fucking libertarian? You know, get real. You got to fucking pick, you know, who was it? Jim Hightower? You know, Texan, born and raised, but not stupid. You dig what I'm saying? You know, he's not a fool, you know. And he's like, the only thing in the fucking middle of the road, man. You know, really. And I guess this is a Texan way of looking at it. Or armadillos that all smashed up, right? Pick a motherfucking side. You know, there's right and there's goddamn wrong. Now, you can argue about the you know, the grays and shit, but come on, pick a fucking side. You know, it's like when somebody tried to tell me, well, you know, Nazism wasn't completely bad. I'm like, are you fucking insane? I mean, why am I even having a discussion with somebody, you know, who's, you know, of the graduate goddamn level, who's going to fucking try to argue with me that the Nazis were not bad? It's like, are you fucking nuts? You're fucking crazy. Now, I feel that the Catholic Church should be held to the same fucking account that the Nazis are, but see, nobody wants to do that either.
Right? It's emotional. And politically, nobody wants to see that shit happen because the fucking Catholic Church has been controlling everything and giving carte blanche to this bullshit since what? The Doctrine of Discovery and all that bullshit? I mean, how long has this been going on? So now there's a new pope. Yeah, I'm trying to remember how many popes I've lived through. Right? This is my what pope? You know, I can't remember the number. You know, was it Peter? I'm trying to remember. You know, I can't remember who was Pope when I was young. I know one of them was really short. You know what? I don't remember. Who fucking cares, man? You know, it's who gives a shit? Really? Yeah. I mean, I'm not Catholic any goddamn more. So you know, it's like what the hell? You know, Catholic worker. Let me be clear about that too. But yeah, man. So here we got the new Papa, Pope Francis. And, I mean, again, the left has already jumped on him. It's like, what the fuck more do you want? I mean, he's already kicked out this one goddamn flagrant money bastard, you know, a motherfucking cardinal and shit that was hoarding all this goddamn money for himself and was living lavishly. Well, he took his goddamn crib from him. I guess he took some of those gold rings and whatever the fuck else he had and shit and his Prada. And just told him, you gotta start living like every fucking buddy else, you know, under normal goddamn cardinal means. See, if he was a cardinal. Monsignor, whatever the fuck he was. I mean, he was up there. You know, he was up there with those, you know, with those fucking, you know, outfits and shit. And I'm not making fun of that. That's the tradition. That's their tradition. And I respect that. But I don't respect the fucking Catholic Church, right? I mean, the more you learn about it, the less you want to have anything to fucking do with it. So here you got, you know, Pope Francis. Now, again, I don't like the goddamn organization. It is what it is, right? So, you know, we got all this money laundering and shit going on. I know somebody's going to start talking about propaganda duel. And it's a worthy discussion since Silvio Berlusconi was supposed to be a member. I mean, this isn't me. This is Wikipedia saying this shit. You know, so, you know, I don't know. He's still in politics. You tell me. You know, I know he owns all of the media over there in goddamn Italy. So, you know, there'll be an article that might be realistic about him. And then there's three others that, you know, talk about everything he did for Italy. So it's like, you know, you have to look at that. Take a deep breath. Separate the wheat from the chaff. And, you know, use your logic and hope for the best. I mean, what the fuck else can you do? You know, and it's the same thing with Pope Francis. I mean, he is halfway goddamn decent. He's trying to fucking straighten some shit out. But, you know, if you really expect him to now start ordaining women, if you really expect him now to tell, you know, these gay priests to come out and you can have your partners and shit and be able to still do, you know, your Sunday sermons, you're crazy. See, this is, again, you know, the church is, you know, I mean, not the church. Well, the church is unrealistic, too. But I'm talking about the left. The left is goddamn unrealistic. At least in the States about this kind of shit. You're telling him to turn around the entire thing that makes the goddamn Catholic Church what it is, a male-dominated motherfucking enclave of inbreds, right? So, you know, you're telling them to basically put themselves out of business. That's not going to fucking happen, my dears. And you really need to understand how things really work and stop living through these fucking fantasies and shit you all watch on reality TV. The world did not begin when you were born. That motherfucking institution has been around for how motherfucking long? Do you really think it's going to just stop it, what the fuck is doing, because you think it should? No, you be realistic. You know, this is what I tell my gay friends who insist on going to fucking church. You know, I mean, it's their business. If that's what gets them through the day, through the night, helps them live their lives in some kind of peace, fine. I mean, for a lot of people, not just gay people, I mean, for people in general, some folks, all they have is the church, man. You know, all they have is that community. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't give a damn. Do what you want to do. You know, just don't condemn every other fucking people for not following or not believing in what you believe in. That's fine. But I say to them, when, you know, they want to, you know, force their priest to, well, not force, but, you know, to convince him that it would be good to, you know, talk about gay rights and what have you. I'm like, look, man, you're right in one sense, you know, in terms of they're representing their local parish. But you're talking about an institution where it says right in the book, in six places within the goddamn book, that this is an abomination. So if you still want to practice that ism, if you still want to stay in that, man, then, hey, you have to accept that goddamn teaching. You know, or you totally leave the motherfucker and start your own shit. Right? You do a Martin Luther, who was a Judeophobic, class-conscious, you know, anti-poor son of a bitch. To, you know, you go and you start your own motherfucking branch of the damn religion. Because you're asking an institution that teaches that type of fucking bias to give up the bias for you, but then at the same time, you accept all of the other goddamn biases. You know, how many people think that, think about this. Ask your friends, ask your goddamn family. How many people who go to church every motherfucking Sunday on the regular, who are female, they want more women, they want more say for women in the church. They want to see ordained women as priests and what have you. Okay, but you got the book that says that really you're nothing as a female. That's not me. You know, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah and see what Lot was ready to do to his two daughters. You know, don't tell me what happened to Lot's wife. What happened to a hell of a lot of women in the Bible? So it's like, you know, don't come on, man. Don't tell me. You know, if you want to stay in that ism, you have to accept the rules of the ism, because if you're not going to follow the rules of the ism as it is doesn't stand, does it? You want it to roll with the times. It can't. Not as an institution. That's the whole point of it being an institution. It doesn't fucking change. You know, you want them to make all these fucking changes knowing full goddamn well that they're not going to fucking do this and remain the fucking same. Again, this is where the left is not being realistic. Meet them half goddamn way. Meet this motherfucking Pope half goddamn way. I mean, will that hurt you to meet the Pope half goddamn way? What are you losing? If the man is willing to fucking, I mean, there's rumors now about the mafia looking at him. You know, if this man is willing to take on his institution in terms of the money, let him take on the issues with the money and with the abusive goddamn priests. Because those are serious motherfucking problems that really have international, you know, ramifications. You know, we're talking about how fucked up the world is. Well, the church can actually do something about that if this man is allowed to fucking, you know, do what he is trying, it seems to do. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give Pope Francis, and you should, you know, as well, the benefit of the doubt. Let him do this and try to keep him on that to deal with the exploitation that happens to people and to the money in the church. And yes, you know, make your petitions as far as these things. But don't call him, you know, all kinds of names because he decided that he's not going to turn over the church the way you want him to fucking turn it over. You know, the left does not know how to deal with contradiction within its own ranks, within its own philosophy, right? It doesn't know how to deal with contradiction and goddamn conflict. And I'm, and again, when I say the left, I'm talking specifically about the U.S. Because the other lefties don't seem to have this goddamn problem. I mean, the conservatives in the United States are complete fucking idiots. But you see how quickly they can organize some shit, though. And I'm not saying that small groups in the U.S. do not do that. Because, see, I know somebody's already going to take that out of context. Oh, you're not saying that we're doing anything here? Look, listen, all right? There was no mass goddamn movement happening here. If there was, things would look a lot different. Matter of fact, things would probably be a hell of a lot more fucked up than they are now. Which just goes to show there isn't that much goddamn resistance. And when I say resistance, I'm not talking about going out in the street and doing any goddamn thing. I'm talking about opening your motherfucking mind, man. And, you know, saying to people. Like when they make homophobic... And now, you know, as our last show, I'm becoming more conscious of transphobic, you know, insults. You don't have to get into a goddamn quarrel with the person. You just say, look, man, you know, that was really out of line. And it wasn't necessary. You know, I didn't say you had to go into this big thing, but you at least tell people that is unacceptable. Because that shit is unacceptable in a fucking civil society. You know, you black brothers, man, I don't get this with you motherfuckers. You're a nigga. I mean, you're supposed to be so goddamn smart. You want to watch Alex Jones and shit and regurgitate these dumbass conspiracies. So, you know, after you've taken a dollar bill and twisted it into like, you know, like origami and shown me some bullshit, you know, about this and about that. Look, man, look. You're wasting your motherfucking time. And I'm going to tell you how this shit looks. I've been an Uncle Tom longer than most of you motherfuckers have been alive. And I'm telling you, sitting and hanging with white folks who will say to me exactly what the fuck they think, okay? They think you motherfuckers are fools. They know what nigga means. And it really, you know, really peeves me that you guys can well fucking lecture me about some shit that really doesn't mean anything about any goddamn thing. You know? It sounds fantastic because of the way you talk about this shit, but you really, you're not talking about nothing. Just a lot of goddamn grandstanding. And I understand where that's coming from, but, you know, let's get real here. In all of that fucking study and all that knowledge, all those fucking pamphlets you all read, right? What does the word nigga mean in the English language? If you want to listen to white folks who try to defend their use of it and you take away everything else, it says ignorant, right? So you think by spelling it differently, you somehow remove the fact that the fucking meaning of that bullshit is ignorant, and every time you see another black man and call him a nigga, you're identifying him as an ignorant motherfucker? And white people are sitting there in the fucking clubs and shit and listening to this, and in their mind, they're just like, man, you know, we still got these motherfuckers in our pocket. And this is exactly what the fuck happened here in whatever stadium that is in D.C. with this fucking shit with the Redskins. You know, we got these Indians in our goddamn pocket. We can call them fucking Redskins and they're proud of it. They even bring their elders to fucking stand here. While we thank them for supporting white power, for supporting us. In the meantime, while they were doing all that, how were Navajo people being treated? How many of their children were taken away by the state and farmed out to white families? Huh? Let's talk about that. How many Navajo were in boarding schools? Huh? Like my grandmother, huh? How many? You ever talk to an elder about what happened in the boarding schools? You know, I mean, it's the same thing with the Japanese. They had these internment camps all along the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, right? And to prove their Americanism, they say that these guys signed up. We all know that they went in there and put pressure on these young men because they wanted Japanese to help them win the fucking war in Japan. And while they were fighting and dying on those goddamn hills... right? Fighting their own fucking people. For white people. How were their mothers and sisters and grandmothers and aunts being treated in the internment camps? How were their grandfathers being treated in these internment camps? Did they ever get their land back? Most of these people were farmers. The fishermen, did they get their boats back? They just took everything they had and sold it to white people on the cheap. I mean, that is the darkest stain on the Franklin Roosevelt administration that I can think of. And you have to ask yourself why his wife didn't speak up about that. I mean, she did for Marian Anderson and for a few other causes, but she didn't talk about that. And yeah, they interned some Germans. Some. But they didn't treat them the same way. And let me tell you something else since we're on the subject. You know, because while these Indian Navajo coal talkers were helping white people win the war, right? German POWs were in, you know, the middle of the United States. Some of them anyway. There were others on the East Coast. And you can read Noam Chomsky about that because he grew up near one of the camps. Now, I never remember reading anything from him. I'm talking about Professor Chomsky now in terms of the conditions of the camps in Pennsylvania where he was. But the SS officers, well, some of them anyway, but the German officers, you know, I don't know how many of them were officers, but I believe many of them were. They were held in, I think it was the state of Idaho, a couple of places, Montana, and they lived in cottages. In small, you know, remote communities, they were allowed to grow hops, and they were allowed to sell their beer in the town, and they were allowed to go in the town and meet women. So, you know, what the hell is this? You know, why was that allowed to happen? Because, well, I can tell you why it was allowed to happen. The majority of white folks in the United States are of German descent. Right? I mean, like you hear Frasier, you know, all the time up in goddamn Canada and shit, right? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just some name, Murphy, you know, it's just some names you hear all the time, right? Well, you know, when you get around, you know, the middle Americas especially, there's a lot of Germans. I mean, was it the Bubble King, the Champagne Music cat, who was another fucking bigot? Lawrence Welk. I mean, you know, a lot of folks have asked me when I've shown them clips of his show, you know, they're like, oh, you know, why does he sound like that? Where was he from? You know, I'm like, he was born here. You know, he was born in a German town, I believe in Wisconsin, right? I mean, you got areas in, I mean, polka's big in goddamn Pennsylvania, you know, believe me. You know, I mean, you look, you have all of this going on. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, white people here really did not have a problem with Hitler until the war started. For a few reasons. You know, one, they didn't have a problem with Germans. Second, they really didn't have a problem with fascism, it seems like. Because there were, you know, Nazi groups all up and down the goddamn country, especially on the eastern seaboard. You know, I mean, they popped up in different places in the United States. And I'm sure that they were being monitored and what have you. But the point is, they were allowed to set up shop. And then you had Lindbergh with his bullshit. And then you had Henry Ford with his bigger bullshit. You know, and all of these fuckers were supporting the Nazis. And I didn't even say anything about the Bush family yet. And there's no need to, because the information is out there. You know, but my point is, while, you know, these Indian native coal talkers, while these, you know, native men were over here helping the U.S. win the war, you know, they were still doing business with the Germans. Rebuilt Germany with American tax money, you know, the Marshall Plan, right? You know, the Germans invested their money in American banks and American taxpayers, rebuilt goddamn German state, which should have been a fucking cabbage patch after what they did. You know, I mean, World War I was bad enough. You know, World War II was motherfucking unforgivable. And they should never have been allowed to develop again, ever. Right? But what was going on in Navajo country, or Dene land? Right? Black Mesa, right? You know, what was happening and what is still happening over there? Didn't they move elders from there to Northern California so that they could dump waste on their land? I don't have that in front of me. SB something about McCain was on that. Has something to do. The McCain-Udall bill. That's all I remember right now. I don't remember the actual file name of the or file designation of the bill. But yeah, you know. So what were these men fighting for then if they couldn't get justice for their own people here? But you know, some SS motherfucker can come over here, grow hops, be able to go down and get some, you know, from a real live female and shit, while he's supposed to be held as a prisoner of war. You know, I mean, explain this to me. You don't think that's a contradiction? I think it's a goddamn contradiction. I think it's a massive goddamn contradiction. Just like I said with the Japanese, this is a contradiction to be holding them in internment camps and then send them over to fight for you. And then they want to take pride in that. I don't get that. Take acknowledgement in what the Japanese Nisai and the Kotoku said, acknowledgement of every native soldier, where they were drafted or went. I acknowledge them. But I'm not going to pat you on the back for what you were out there doing. I'm sorry. I can't. That's like somebody who's German. I mean, what would we think of a German who patted somebody who they knew was in the fucking SS, who they knew was a prison camp guard, and say, yeah, well, you know, thanks for your service? We would say that person was a fucking lowlife, right? So then what's different with them? You know, what's the real difference morally, ethically, logically between these fucking situations? You know, I mean, I know German people, and, you know, and they still catch a lot. I'm talking about young German people, you know, and they're fucking, you know, like early 30s, who are still catching hell and are still apologizing for what the fuck Hitler did. I mean, they are how far removed from this shit? And people are still blaming every goddamn German, you know, alive for what the fuck Hitler did. That's not fair. You know, they do hell of a lot fucking more than white people here do in terms of acknowledgement. You can acknowledge these things. It doesn't mean that you approve of them. Just like I said with police officers. Not every police officer out here is a jerk. But when they stand by and support these jerks, though, then what? You can't solve the problem if you're going to then turn around and get tribal and then protect these people. Because we don't have an understanding that by protecting corruption, you increase and you solidify and you entrench the corruption. You know, the police in a lot of countries they're brutal. But in the United States, they're completely out of goddamn control. They're out of control. Because nobody wants to say anything, because these are the heroes, right? These are the finest. You know, can't say anything. You can't say anything, you know, because they'll hit you with every police officer that ever went down, and they don't say anything about the people that they put down. You know, I'll start to take the police seriously in terms of them giving a fuck about us when I see a million police officer march against police brutality. Then I'll take them seriously. I'll take the PBA seriously when I see police officers stand up against police abuse. Because they certainly have no motherfucking problem going to Indians and demanding that Indians stand up against violence in the Indian community. They have no problem going to black people and blaming us for every fucking thing that happens, right? You guys are beating up on yourselves. We're not doing it. The gun violence in Chicago is mostly black. Who are they blaming? They're not blaming conditions. They're not blaming the political situation. They're not blaming the oppression. They're not blaming the colonialism. They're not blaming anything about the employment, the low education, or the fact that black folks have always been treated like shit in the fucking city of goddamn Chicago. Right? I'm talking about daily, because I remember. I'm not talking about his son. I'm talking about daily. You know, his daddy. You know, I mean, I wasn't, you know, old enough to do, you know, to be involved in anything, but 1967, you dig? You know, if I remember, that's the year, if I'm correct about that, where they just knocked the hell out of these progressives, the left. Whipped their asses in the streets, busted everybody, males, females. I mean, no mercy. None. Look at those goddamn films from the 60s. You know, you can go on YouTube, whatever, find out what the hell's going on. Look it up. Don't believe me. Look it up. Look it up. You know, look at the trial of the Chicago fucking, you know, 8. Because I know they like to tell you about 7, but they had motherfucking, I was going to say Huey P. Newton, but not him, Bobby Seale. Chained and gagged in the goddamn courtroom for most of the trial because he was trying to defend himself, and they said niggas don't have a right to defend themselves in the court of law in the United States of America. You know, motherfuckers think the Dred Scott case and shit, you know, was yesterday. The only reason the Dred Scott case
Matter of fact, that has never really been removed. I mean, it's just been nullified, meaning it's still there. They get rid of the 14th Amendment, then that means legally, whites don't have to respect the motherfucking thing about black folks. But like I said, you fuckers that call yourself niggas with pride, see, you don't know that. You don't know that.
You want to talk about Imhotep, you know, you want to talk about Queen Nefertiti and shit, which is cool. You want to talk about King Tut, which is cool. You want to talk about the pyramids, that's cool.
Well, you know, the original face on the Sphinx, you know, was black, brother. You know that, right?
Okay, you know, all of that is cool. You know, anything that you can verify is cool. But see, you want to talk about that shit, but then call yourself a nigga and then say that you're elevated. See, no, I have a problem with that. That's a contradiction. That's one of those paradoxes we've been talking about here for about a fucking hour. You dig? You know, it's a contradiction, man. It's a glaring motherfucking contradiction. It's an embarrassing fucking contradiction. You should be fucking embarrassed. But you're not embarrassed. And see, that's embarrassing to me that you're a black man out here with your life ahead of you and you're not embarrassed that you're calling yourself a nigga. You've accepted what they fucking have told you that they believe that you are. But the thing is, they don't really believe that because they actually know what the fuck is going on with the pyramids. They know what's going on with the Mayan civilization shit, right? They know what's going on with Machu Picchu. They know what's going on with Angkor Wat. You know, I mean, they got Stonehenge and shit. I'm not saying they don't have their own structures. You know, but motherfucking, you got a Bosnia now that's trying to prove, it's a hoax. It's already been disproven. I'm not talking about debunked. I'm talking about disproven. Where he was trying to make out that some goddamn pyramid, the largest in the world, was in Bosnia. I mean, they are so desperate, like Piltdown Man, to find something, anything, to prove that the white man was here first. Oh, yeah, so, Lupe, thanks for reminding me. Some of you, well, we don't, you know, don't even bother to put it on the screen. Lupe, there was a study that was released recently. At least I read about it in the BBC, where they found, I don't know why they're saying European DNA. It would make more sense to say Caucasian DNA, but they just had to stick European in there. Now they're trying to make the argument that native people are kind of white. Which, it's a really fucking dumbass way to explain that. Since whiteness really is fucking a social concept. You know, I mean, the Sami people in Scandinavia. Look them up on Wikipedia. And then, you know, because you don't believe Wikipedia, right? Follow the links. This is why people, Wikipedia is bullshit. Well, you're right. You know, because you got people that like to lie. But, I mean, follow the fucking research. Use it as a goddamn starting point. Doesn't mean you have to begin and end there. I know people who are writing their whole goddamn fucking term papers based on Wikipedia without looking anywhere else. And then they wonder why they fucking fail their courses. Because you're fucking intellectually goddamn lazy. You know, it's fucking ridiculous. But look up the Sami people and look at their DNA so you can see where the fuck they really come from. You know, they have white skin, but that's not the whole story, is it? They're indigenous. They're not people of color, but they're indigenous. But their, you know, DNA trail starts in North Africa. You know, this concept of whiteness is bullshit. But, you know, it's not even so much the white people want to let it go. A lot of black people are scared to let it go because they think this is going to be complete chaos. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be complete chaos. But let's understand how the chaos could fucking come in. Well, this is what happened in Zimbabwe. Perfect fucking example. You had a highly uneducated fucking massive goddamn underclass. Okay, so you have your revolution. But no real fucking plan. Now, Zimbabwe did good for about 10 years. Because the leaders of the movement were intellectuals, okay? So they had some kind of an idea of how to run a government once they got in. But what happened was, and we all know that this is really what was the beginning of the motherfucking end, was when Mugabe started letting thugs, because no real honest man is going to take a machete and go to a white dude, even though the white dude is completely out of pocket, historically, right? And, you know, doing the entire fucking family and shit, or threaten the whole fucking family, because, you know, we're going to take the land back. Well, do you know how to farm?
No, you see, the majority of these people didn't know how to fucking farm. And what I'm trying to say about this is, too, you know, for white folks who have never lived in poverty, you don't know how socially shit works. The honest people don't get to motherfucking run anything. The goddamn thugs do. And that's who went and took over those fucking farms. They didn't know a goddamn thing about farming, and there were a lot of people exploited and shit on those fucking farms. And they all went to crap because nobody knew what the fuck to do. So instead of, you know, trying to work something out with the white dudes and just ignoring the motherfuckers who didn't want to, you know, goddamn negotiate or you know, work out some kind of amicable fucking solution, they just decided to go buck wild and start throwing people out. Which, again, would have made sense, maybe, if the people knew how to work the fucking land. If they knew how to work the goddamn machines and to repair them. They didn't know a fucking thing. So when shit started to fuck up, instead of taking responsibility and maybe trying to find some friendly nations that you would, you know, hope would try to look out for your best interests and shit, you know, freelancers, whatever the fuck it is, to try to, you know, educate your population on how to deal with this, and they could have put money into that. And I'm not saying that they didn't put money into education and what have you, but when it came to the agricultural bit, Mugabe did not do it fucking right, and when it fucked up, because he basically allowed it to fuck up, because he was trying to back the people who backed him, his cronies, it all went to hell. Right? And then you have freakouts and shit, and I mean, you can understand why people being nervous. I mean, anybody who's going to say, well, they didn't have anything to worry about, oh, that was bullshit. What was going on in Zimbabwe was chaotic. It was totally goddamn chaotic. But it was chaotic because it was Rhodesia. You know, and I know Rhodesians, and I know a couple, right? They still like to fucking talk about how, well, we were the only, you know, multiracial state. Yeah, whatever the fuck, man. You have some kiss asses, you know. People that they identified to me as half-caste until I had to tell them, well, that might have been okay in Rhodesia, but this isn't fucking Rhodesia. Matter of fact, Rhodesia doesn't exist any goddamn more. Now, I said I know the, you know, a couple of, I didn't say we were pals. You dig? And we can be civil with each other, but, you know, I told them, you know, don't act like you brought, you know, civilization to goddamn Zimbabwe. You didn't bring nothing but pain. The fucking, you, Cecil Rhodes and shit, fucking Harry Oppenheimer and all these goddamn people. You know, all of you motherfuckers, man, just bring pain. And see, even when you physically stop doing shit, your attitude about everything continues to pain. You know, now I'm not trying to make out Ian Smith to be the most evil white man in Africa, but he wasn't the fucking best white man in Africa. You know, he was just a white man in Africa who just felt that, well, fuck it, I'm here, so we will move from this point forward. And this is what I'm saying with young folks, or as, you know, was it fucking millennials. They got this idea that it's all about them. It ain't fucking all about you, man. Who the fuck are you that it should be all about you? You think you can survive without other goddamn people? Especially when someone is African, which is indigenous, and so, or someone especially indigenous from the Americas wants to tell me about it all, it's all about me, I'm my own person. It's like, man, whatever, man, come on. The fuck out of here. Don't tell me about being Indian and you're talking about, yeah, I'm on my fucking own. See, that's bullshit right there. The whole fucking native thing, man, is about goddamn community. The whole indigenous fucking worldview starts at community. This is why all indigenous people, damn near all of them, to a group, identify themselves in their languages as the people. See, you know, when you got, like, folks, and, you know, I mean, there's still argument about this, even amongst the Cherokee. Where did the name come? You know, Aina Waria, you know, what do you call yourselves, right? You know, well, there's one term that means the people, and then you got what white people called you, which is basically what they got from other people who didn't like you called you. I mean, this is what always happens. Africa was named Afri by the Greeks. The Romans picked up the name, and everybody went along for that, you know. I mean, where nigger started exactly? Again, there's a whole lot of arguments, right? You know, negro in Spanish, huh? You know, so... You know, a play on that too. It's, I mean, it's like, you know, Svatza. I mean, there's Svatza and then there's Vatsa. You know, I mean, you can tell the fucking difference from who you're talking to. There's context. I understand this. But see, the left doesn't understand context. At least not any goddamn more. You know, I don't know what happened.
You know, was it TV? I mean, here we got the Hunger Games. I mean, how many of you motherfucking lefties are out here praising the Hunger Games? As far as I'm concerned, the fucking Hunger Games are goddamn propaganda trying to set us up for what the fuck is coming. And it's like, you're looking at this shit as entertainment. It's like, hey, wake the fuck up. THX 1138 was not a fucking joke. Logan's Run was not a joke. Not any goddamn more. You know, the one thing about real sci-fi, and I'm not talking about one of these goddamn action films. I'm talking about real motherfucking sci-fi. You know, not CGI effects. Real science fucking fiction. Tells the fucking future. Fahrenheit 451. Children of Men. I mean, come on, man. You know, we're looking at the fucking future, and like I said, you know, just like white folks. Well, I can beat the fucking odds. You know, I'm not going to get hooked there. I take a hit off that crack pipe. I'm going to beat the fucking odds. I'm not going to get hooked. How many times have you heard that from a relative? Yeah, man, you know, when that needle was in my arm, you know, I was like, yeah, it's all right, man. I ain't going to think about it no more. That was 12 years ago. Right? Now a cat's liver is fucking completely fucked up, right? You know, so hey, man, you can continue to live in the bullshit if you want to and stand on, you know, this bullshit about being progressive when you really ain't fucking progressive at all. You know, progressive with regressive goddamn politics is not progress. You know, political alchemy does not work. You know, continuing to do the same thing politically every goddamn time, expecting a different result, is stupid. And thinking that by catering to white people and standing in the middle of a fucking stadium with a team called the Washington Redskins wearing their insulting goddamn motifs, that whole fucking thing is illegal under international goddamn law. You know, this is what Julius Streicher went to the fucking gallows for. His newspaper did nothing but insult Jews and other minorities. You know, ask any Zionist. They'll be happy to tell you the story about the poison mushroom and all that kind of shit. But then they don't want to talk about little black Sambo. You know, they don't want to talk about the Redskins. They don't want to talk about the Braves. Right? They don't want to talk about any of that. The Chiefs and shit. They don't want to talk about any of that. They don't want to talk about none of that. But when it comes to that particular group, because of the particular embarrassment that white people, white Christians in this country and in most of Western Europe, for standing there and watching the Germans and the fucking Ustashe chop up all these people to burn Europe, basically, of its undesirables, and didn't do a goddamn thing about it. Because nobody wants to admit that they didn't like Jews either. And that's why they sat there and they watched it. But see, the left doesn't know how to deal with these contradictions. You know, like somebody else, gay, good pal of mine, considers her lesbianism to be part of her Marxist philosophy. I showed her some stuff, Lupe, about a week ago. My wife and I were out, and we happened to bump into her, and I told her, and then I showed her. Yeah, I told you the story, right? You know, sorry, everybody. I had explained to this person that I had recently learned, I had heard rumor about this, but I hadn't actually seen anything, that Marx was, you know, he didn't approve of gay people. You know, he didn't approve of gay people. It turns out that Mikhail Bakunin, he became an anarchist later, I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time calling him an anarchist because he just seems to get lumped into that by anarchists today. Most of them have never even actually read his work. I find it hard to pigeonhole Bakunin, and I consider him to be not necessarily a Marxist, but they were definitely in the same line of thought. But with most things, you know, economics and what have you, certainly. But, you know, Marx and... I don't know how Engels felt about it. I'm not aware. But Marx himself, Karl Marx, did not like the fact that Mikhail Bakunin was gay. We know this now. We know now that Bakunin was gay. Marx did not fucking approve. Now, I'm saying he personally didn't approve, but he also made it clear in his, what I was showing this person, that he didn't see how Marxism could be compatible, let alone tolerable, of homosexuality.
because it was confusion. So, you know, so for a lot of left people, the fuck if they want to accept that, that the Communist Party was not keen on gays, they were never keen on gay people. They were never keen on gay people. So what do a lot of lefties do? They just ignore that. You know, they just ignore it. You know, they rather not hear it. They just rather pretend that it doesn't exist. Now, I'm not saying that there were still not gay people, Russian and German primarily, that I'm aware of, that were involved in the Russian Revolution, what happened afterwards, right? German workers, you know, all of that kind of thing. Yeah, they were there. Doesn't mean that people accepted them. And I'm pretty sure, like with Castro and Cuba, they sat through many a goddamn speech talking about the evils of, you know, homosexuality is part of capitalism. And that's what they said. That, you know, homosexuality was part of the capitalist, destruction of society. Because they considered homosexuality to be bourgeois. You know, if you're really a hardcore, especially like a Trotskyist or some shit, you know, you'll look at Edward II, who was impaled because of that. You know, they basically punished him because he was openly gay. I mean, he used to bring his lover to court. While he's sitting there running business, fuck all that significant other bullshit. Man, his goddamn, you know, man was right there. With his wife on the other side, who was totally pissed. But because of her station as a woman, couldn't do anything about it and got the army to, you know, basically work against him. Which is what happened. Was it Piers Galveston? Is that the... I believe that's one of the names of one of his husbands. And he met a foul end. And then they took poor Edward to the tower. So, you know, very few people who went to the tower left the tower. You get what I'm saying? Taken to the tower. You know, they didn't leave. So, even those two young princes, you know, nobody ever left. You get what I'm saying? Unless they worked there. Right? So, no, man, you know, we have to, you know, deal with the fact that, one, we're not all going to goddamn agree. But we need to be reasonable and fucking listen to each other and actually take into account what this other person is trying to say. You know, being blockheaded doesn't solve anything, which is what I'm going to end with this. Now, we've already done the Thanksgiving thing with the total mindfuck that was what happened at the Redskins thing with the coal talkers. The other bit was this Navajo bit. Now, like I said, you know, on the East Coast, you know, it's you know, the people don't understand, man. You know, they really don't understand. When you move out into the West Coast, you start to find natives that are mixed with Filipino, like Indopino is one of the terms I've heard used. Because there was enough of them to actually come up with that term, right? And on the East Coast, you got whole nations that, you know, if you just saw them on the street, you just say, okay, yeah, black guy. Right? Blacks are Puerto Ricans, right? They're all native. But this is, you know, this is what it is. And then you get to the middle, and then, you know, is that. And then when you're in the United States, you know, the Lakota, you know, in those terms, in terms of the way white people have framed everything, war bonnets and shit, you know, that's Indian. Everybody else doesn't kind of count, doesn't matter, except for the, everybody who wants, you know, except for all of those who want to claim to be Cherokee, of which they are legion. For various reasons. But this Navajo, you know, Jew thing, I've never heard that term before. You know, Lupe and I talked about it. Neither of us have heard this term ever before. And I know that, I mean, like I said, I have this really diminishing, you know, fucking connection to the Jewish community because the white guy in my family happened to be Ashkenazi. But, you know, it's not an uncommon mix on the East Coast. But this family, I don't know where they're living, and, you know, it doesn't really matter, because this is the second mind fuck, right? She's native and doing Thanksgiving, so that's already fucked up. And then she integrates this cat's Hanukkah thing into it, which that isn't, you know, the craziness about it. You know, her husband's Jewish, so what? You know, hope everything works out for him. Dig what I'm saying?
That's got nothing to do with nothing, right? But the idea that, you know, they would, like, merging these two cultures on Thanksgiving, which is already a fucked up day. And, you know, not talking at all about the colonial situation in Palestine. You know, it really fucking bothered me. Especially when you take into account the fact that Israel was founded on the Canaanite genocide any goddamn way. You know, and the fact that, I mean, I can't remember the rabbi that I read this, it was like one or two chapters of his book. I just didn't get around to finishing the book. That there's no, you know, real historical evidence that they were actually slaves in Egypt either. I'm not saying that they weren't there. Nobody's saying that. They're just saying that the idea that they were slaves and then left with nothing and were able to, you know, go in the desert for 40 years and then, you know, pounce on the goddamn Canaanites and take their shit and then justify it later on in their songs and in their myths. I mean, you know, No. You know, they were an underclass, certainly. But they were obviously skilled enough to be able to maintain. Was that the case with Zimbabwe? See, you know, the left has to look at things and really deconstruct and break it down when we make these arguments. Yes, what's happening in Israel is wrong, but if you can't fucking point out the why Israel is wrong and actually look at their justifications, they use the Bible when it suits them anyway to justify this shit. Well, the Bible says that they took the land from somebody else. Why not raise that? Why not raise that? What, are you offending Judaism now? Are you offending religion and shit now because you do that? See, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. This is what I'm talking about. So, you know, again, with the left, I never had a problem with this person before. We've been in contact, and I made the mistake of forwarding that that article to this individual. Who, you know, if I said that they want to write, will probably be offended by that. So I'm going to say on the fucking left, right? You know, just to make things easier for us to understand here. And for some strange reason, me sending her this weird-ass story about a weird-ass event, not the family being weird, but what they're doing being goddamn weird and colonially crazy, that somehow I was trying to push an agenda on her because I was making an assumption she was Jewish. Now, I'm going to say here right now, I don't know if this person listens to the show, and I really don't give a damn. But I didn't know if she was Jewish or not. It says on her, I mean, she supports Palestinian human rights, and she's in touch with Ali Abanima all the time. So, you know, with a situation like this, is a colonial situation, why not forward somebody? So, I mean, we've traded information before, right? We send each other links. I did not know where this was coming from, and then it was just this barrage of, don't pigeonhole me. And I'm like, pigeonhole you where? Were you trying to make me out to be part of a group? I wasn't making you out to be anything. I didn't say anything about her being Jewish. I didn't even assume she was Jewish. I mean, look, people. How many folks support Palestinian human rights? How many of them are Jewish? I didn't make any goddamn assumptions. You post material about the colonialist situation in Palestine. You talk about colonialism. Here's a colonialist fucking crazy ass situation that makes it harder to argue against colonialism because people will point to these articles to say, what are you complaining about? Which is what happened with the goddamn Washington Redskins and the Navajo Vote Talkers. Anytime now somebody says something about the Redskins, they're going to say, what, you're going to diss the Navajo Vote Talkers? They approve of it. Right? It just ends the goddamn conversation. That was the reason I sent it. Because that will be raised to justify what is happening in Palestine. In other words, this Indian is doing Thanksgiving, which means that she's okay with her colonialism, and Hanukkah, which means she's okay with what her husband's people are doing in goddamn Israel. And that we need to be aware of these stories so that we can have counter arguments to them, because they are fucking ridiculous. It's pure propaganda, and we need to be able to identify that. But then, like I said, I have no fucking clue where the hell this came from. It just turned into this thing where I'm trying to, you know, make her Jewish. I'm not trying to make anybody fucking anything, especially goddamn Jewish. And what position would I be in to do that? I mean, what the fuck? I'm not goddamn Jewish. You know, I mean, if we're going to go by the recent DNA test that's been coming out, which I know has been flipping a lot of other people out about this, right? Because DNA is just totally fucking up everything for a lot of people, isn't it? In terms of their goddamn their illusions about who's who and who's what, right? That the majority of Ashkenazim don't have any Semitic, you know, DNA at all. The majority, not everybody, the majority. Now, I've said this before on this show, and I say it again, and I had to remind this person that, you know, whatever the hell she was trying to, you know, whatever confusion she's going through, because, you know, what really upset me was not the fact that she misunderstood, and, you know, what happened. She just jumped to a bunch of conclusions, you know, and then really, really became patronizing. And that really, really annoyed me, because there was no call for it. I hadn't insulted her. I didn't make any goddamn assumptions, and she was ridiculously fucking nasty. And I just don't know what it is with so many people on the fucking left. I mean, you know, dealing with conservatives online is always, it's always a waste of your fucking time. Because they are so fucking closed-minded, there's no way to get anything. You know, logic doesn't, you know, it just doesn't seep into them. It doesn't. But with the left, they want to argue with you in fucking circles all day long and then table this fucking shit and come back and argue about it again. It's like, don't waste my time. Instead of, you know, fucking asking me directly what the fuck was going on, which she did eventually. And then it was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, and it's like, well, whatever. At this point, who gives a fuck about you sorry? Because you just fucking made an entire fucking, you know, I mean, read way more into this shit that somehow I was approving of Thanksgiving. And I was trying to, you know, corner her into some Jewish ethnicity goddamn thing. Which is fucking crazy. It's like, have you read my goddamn timeline? Have you listened to the fucking show? Have you paid attention to the fact that I'm listed? And I actually take a certain level of pride in this. I'm listed with Amy Goodman and Professor Noam Chomsky and fucking, can't remember his name right now. Well, you would know him anyway. People are pissed with him right now, but what the hell? Who cares? You know, okay. I need to remember his name because that's another. He's another good example. Yeah, you know, let me do this and we can get out of here, Lupe. You know. Oh, what the hell? The Holocaust industry. What is his name? I'm blanking completely on his fucking name. But people are pissed with him. Oh, you'll figure it out, those of you who know what the fuck I'm talking about. He wrote a book called The Holocaust Industry. He's not liked. You know, he's not liked by a lot of people. But at least you know where the hell he's coming from. And at least he's fucking, you know, intellectually consistent, even though people don't get it most of the fucking time. Because they're expecting perfection. Get real! The left is fucking, you know, I mean, you can do a million good things on the left and you make one goddamn, you get misunderstood one time and then they hate you for the rest of their fuck, you know, they hate you forever after this. This is where the left is completely goddamn juvenile. That's not even bothered to look it up because you can't even get on the internet now anyway, right? All right, so fine, the hell with it. We're not going to bother with it. But Norman Finkelstein, thanks, finally. All right. Or was it Stein or Stein? I forget which side of the pond. But any goddamn way. He said something about the BDS recently. The Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions thing. And he was right. I agree with him. So if you don't want to listen to me anymore or quit me on Twitter, go right the fuck ahead. But it's the truth. The BDS movement will not free Israel. All right? That's a fact. Now, he also said that it was becoming cultish. That's a fucking fact, too. You know, and the same thing happened with a lot of other goddamn movements on the left, where it gets to the point where, you know, you got all the goofy costumes and shit, and you're making all these noise in these goddamn street protests, but you know what? You didn't do a fucking thing. You think you did, but you didn't do shit. Because, you know, when you did all that, nothing was changed. There was no new fucking, you know, enlightenment. Nothing happened. The system is in place. So the fucking protests don't mean anything anymore, do they? Now, I'm not saying that people should not, you know, put their numbers out there into the street. I'm just saying go out there with a real fucking platform. Go out there and say something. all these fucking stupid mannequins and shit and banging goddamn drums and, you know, saying that feminism is really, you know, fighting for feminism, stripping all your fucking clothes off and shit and writing feminine on yourself and going out there to basically throw in the faces exactly what the fuck these guys are. I mean, you're doing exactly what the fuck they want. And then for people who are not white to go into this shit, it's like, hey, your problems are not their problems. Exactly. Get real. If you're a black woman, you got to deal with fucking being a woman and being black at the same fucking time. See, the white woman is just dealing with being a woman. And to not be realistic about that is just fucking stupid. Now, you know, I don't have any animosity towards this person. And, you know, it is what it is. But it's the same thing that happened with Finkelstein, man. You know, he said that the BDS cannot be the be-all and end-all of the civil resistance. Now, he didn't make any other suggestions about that. But you get these people who are like, oh, well, when we do this, this is going to stop everything. And then you throw all of your energy and all of your weight and all of your resources into that one basket. And then turns around, you got nothing else when all of those apples are gone. You have to look at things realistically and look at all the fronts and all the angles. If you're doing politics, play fucking chess. For you guys out here who don't play fucking chess, stop. Because I'm being very serious about this, because I get into these discussions with cats. And the conversation goes on and on and on, and nothing after like 3 or 4 hours, 6 hours of fucking talk and shit, a lot of goddamn coffee and cigarettes, nothing is understood. Nobody basically wants to admit that they didn't know what the fuck they were talking about with a lot of this shit, that they were simply trying to get their fucking thing across and just trying to win from what they thought was liberation. So if you think that standing in, you know, in a Redskins game with a Redskins jacket on is liberation, and that, you know, mixing challah and fried bread, excuse me, with turkey is liberation and progressive, moving towards an understanding, you're insane. That's like asking a Jew to sing the horse whistle lead. You know, that's like asking somebody who was a victim of the Khmer Rouge to hold Pol Pot, you know, up for honor on his birthday. That's like a Tibetan saying that Mao did them a fucking favor. See, no other group is really expected to do that. Well, that's not true. In China, Tibet, Chinese occupied Tibet. Actually, they are expected to do that. So I correct myself. They are put under that kind of pressure there. So I'm wrong about that. But in the States, nah, man, you know, black folks, you have to apologize for everything. Indian people, you have to apologize for everything. You have to apologize for your own fucking colonialism. And some of us take pride in that. We take pride in that. And then we wonder why we get treated badly. But then these same folks will contradict themselves again and say, well, if you act like a bitch, you get treated like a bitch, when they want to justify somebody being taken advantage of. Right? On a personal level. There's always a justification for it. You know, it's like I said, you know, you had this racist white politician, GOP, of course, down here in wherever it was in the South, who fooled his constituents now any goddamn way into believing that he was black instead of just being honest with them. And, you know, where's the left on something like that? Why is this man not being investigated for voting fraud? Well, I mean, not for voting fraud, for campaign fraud. Why are people not doing anything about this? Where's the left on this? Well, I'll tell you where the left is. It's fucking nowhere. It's still talking about how it's going to, you know, keep Obama, it's going to make Obama, you know, honor his promises and shit. He's already deep in his second term. He ain't gonna do a fucking thing. He didn't do anything but expand what Bush started. What the fuck are you talking about? The left in the United States is a fucking joke. You know, and as far as Native Americans here, well, hey man, you know, you got individual people doing what they can, but again, it's their level of vision.
you know, somebody I used to know, you know, he was very heavy about this because he came from a Plains Indian background. So for him, you know, you got a lot of people that aren't eating and you have, you know, drug problems and all that kind of shit. And these people have immediate problems. I'm not acknowledging that. You know, and we argued about this for years. But see, but what you're really telling me is that all they really need to then be concerned with is just this day-to-day stuff and not the things that put them in that situation in the first place. Don't deal with that. Just deal with the day-to-day. Now, this, of course, you have to day-to-day deal with these things. That's your daily grind. You're going to have to do it regardless. But these people who are making you suffer like this, when do you say something to them about them? And like I said, these same people will send their young men to the Marine Corps. They will send their young men to the Army. And women now. And tell them that they're doing the honorable Indian thing by being a warrior. But they're not fighting for their people, though. They're fighting for who? Who are they fighting for? What are they fighting for? Are they fighting for BP? Are they fighting for Halliburton? You know, what are they fighting for? You know, we hear, you know, there's so many contradictions, man. You know, we'll turn around and say to somebody, well, you know, you can't, you know, just sit here and do that. But then you'll tell us to sit politically and do nothing. You know, it's like, make up your goddamn mind. You know, it's like when, what was the last time, Lupe, we got a lot of Native bad mail when I had criticized the, was it the Lakota? Yeah, it was Wounded Knee, right? When the National Guard was landed, they landed one anyway. But they sent three helicopters without any warning to the community. And if I wasn't listening to a Native podcast, I wouldn't even have known about it. Because it wasn't really reported. And then when we did report it, it was something on ICNN. And people came down on us about that story was a complete lie, that it never happened. It did fucking happen. You know, they sent helicopters over there talking about, well, you know, who, I'm not even going to name the Native leader who approved this. But I definitely said what the fuck I thought about it, because that action affects everybody. You know, talking about, well, we wanted to teach them about our culture. What do you mean you teach them? They already know what the hell they did. They know what the hell they did. They know what the fuck they did. You know, it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, we, you know, they don't know. We need to talk more. These are the people who did it to you. What the fuck do you mean that they don't know what the hell they did? And that's sacred ground. Am I wrong? You know, hey, all you Dick Wilson supporting Indians. Hey, isn't that sacred ground up there, Wounded Knee? You know, all you suckers that were with the Goon Squad, isn't that considered sacred ground? So it's okay for, you know, anybody to just land any kind of aircraft down there and not say anything to the masters of the community, that they go behind the backs of the community, the leadership, and they approve of this. Tell me, well, you know, we're just trying to get everything together. It's like, no, tell them to give you your fucking land back. Tell them to give you your fucking land back. But see, if I let somebody cheat me out of, like, say, giving me back my full change at the goddamn store, though, I'm an idiot for not going back and arguing for what's right. But you will stand and let them take your land. Again. You know, I mean, the very fucking fact that you can't make any goddamn moves on your own says that you're not free. Shit. You know, so, I mean, to have to explain this shit to fucking adults is fucking ridiculous. It is. It is. You know, it's ridiculous that I'm sitting here feeling I need to tell black men not to call themselves nigger. To call each other nigger. It's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. And there's a, well, we don't get any respect. Well, hey, ask yourself something. You know, you start, defending the right to call yourself nigga and shit on white TV shows, and then you want to know why every 28 hours one of us is being done in by a racist police officer who's dealing with a racist system that's basically ordering him to go out there and be brutal, to, like, stop and frisk and search, you know, randomly every black man that they see. I mean, in England, Black men can't even go to work and go to school without being stopped. And in a lot of American cities, it's become the same goddamn way. Black men can't move. Now, I'm not saying that black women are not getting hassled, but black men cannot do a fucking thing. And one article, I haven't read it all yet. But it's in internet. It's on alternet.org saying that, you know, these gentrifications, that stop and frisk and all the bullshit is about gentrification. It's a way to get black people out of these areas so that they can make room for white people. You know, why would that be, you know, beyond the realm of possibility? We're talking about, you know, the same country that did the Tuskegee experiment. We're talking about the same, you know, country that sterilized Native women, two generations of Native women, and not one motherfucker was held responsible for that shit. In fact, people were given goddamn promotions. They perfected, you know, surgical techniques in terms of sterilizing women on Puerto Rican Tainos. Who talks about that? I mean, didn't they just recently apologize for using women in Guatemala as goddamn guinea pigs? Huh? Didn't they just apologize for this formally not too long ago? Not that anybody's going to be compensated, but I mean, didn't they just, you know, talk about this? You know, read Acres of Skin about how much human experimentation is being done on Africans and Indian people in this country. Right? The two populations that cannot defend themselves. So, you know, you tell me what the fuck is going on here and why we're going for it. You know. And yeah, I blame the left in the United States, you know, that not realizing that they're standing amongst people in conditions in which they're basically, you know, trying to push people now to call for some kind of a fucking supreme leader to take control of all of this shit. That's how Hitler got in. That's how Mussolini got in. Look at the chaos out here. People are panicking. And white people are buying up every goddamn weapon that they can fucking afford. So, I mean, was it Black Friday? Right? Right? They had a fucking sale on firearms. I mean, is there no end to the madness? And again, the left doesn't know what to do. And I'm not saying that they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs. No, I'm saying they're sitting there twisting in the fucking wind. You know, having more arguments about bullshit like, you know, how many goddamn Republicans can you get to dance on the head of a pin and shit like that, instead of fucking, you know, trying to fix the goddamn problem and to come up with some real fucking alternatives that are not copycats of what the fuck just went past. That's why I said, you know, having black faces in high places doesn't mean a fucking thing if they're going to act white and think like that. Come on. You know, I mean, white people were so sure there was going to be this big race riot. You know, yeah, and what happened? Nothing. You know, women started dyeing their hair fucking blonde, black women, and taking, you know, bleach creams, you know, skin bleaching creams, because they see Beyonce getting brighter and brighter as the years go by, right? You know, so between her and her husband and Kanye West and all that kind of shit, we're doomed. We're doomed. You know, anytime a fucking grown man of 40 is going to fucking argue with me about Kanye West being some fucking harbinger of, you know, black awareness and shit, man, I tell him, I'm telling you the same thing I said to him to his face. Brother, you're insane. You're insane. You know, the fact that Eminem was allowed to get as high as he got after there was a tape of him dissing black women. See, now, if he did that to Jews, you'd never hear that his career would have been done. But you want to know why they got and you don't have, right? Well, look at what they do. And look at the arguments that they make. And then ask yourself why you don't have any motherfucking thing. They work together as a fucking group. For most things, because they have to. What is their history? Which is not to say that every Jew agrees with the Zionist program. That's not true. That's simply not fucking true. But, you know, maybe you have to be a little bit Jewish to understand this, but some of the most virulent anti-Jewish hate that I've ever run into has been in the Jewish community. You know, and I already told you about, you know, my online thing. You know, I didn't remove any of those posts, so you can go look at them if you want to. But, you know, I wasn't the one with the hang up. She was. You know, and instead of just, you know, backing out of this shit and leaving alone, you know, she just got belligerent and shit, you know, because she's like, well, you stepped on my... Lady, how am I supposed to fucking know you got a problem with Judaism? How am I supposed to know that, you know? And it's not my motherfucking problem, it's your goddamn problem, you know, because I didn't send you anything that really was fucking about that. It was talking about the fucking colonial situation. And because, you know, she fucking was reactionary and jumped to conclusions, there was a misunderstanding that didn't need to fucking be. And see, this is the other thing I want to say about the left, and this is why I mentioned this situation. We get angry and want to argue with the wrong fucking people. And I'm saying that is suckerism, okay? Because you get motherfuckers on the left that will argue and get in somebody's face on the left, but they won't do that to a goddamn Nazi, see? They'll say nothing. I'm not talking about going up and getting into a fucking altercation, some stupid shit, because that's what they goddamn do, because they're Neanderthals. And they're ignorant, and they're angry, because they think they're supposed to be the first on fucking line because they're white and shit, and they're mad with the fucking world, you know? They see Michael Jordan, and they're mad with every black man in America. And it's like, hey, you know, that's not my motherfucking problem, you know? How many black Michael Jordans are there? How many white fucking guys have that kind of money? Get mad with them. See, this is what I'm saying. Getting fucking upset and getting mouthy and want to fucking get all, get all puffed up and bullshit and aggressive over some fucking nonsense because you had a goddamn misunderstanding. And then you want to call people counter fucking, I'm not talking about that, this interview, I'm talking about in general. You want to call people counter fucking revolutionary because they don't agree with your bullshit. Or they'll point out a discrepancy in your goddamn philosophy. You know, oh, your politics aren't real and all this kind of shit. What? 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 I don't go with political motherfucking trends, man. You know, I'm not out here fucking calling myself queer and nigger and shit. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Same thing. I've mentioned this before and I'll say it again. That fucking queer shit is bullshit, man. You know, and just like, who was it from Public Enemy? Chuck D, he said, whatever black people do, white people do 5 years later. Yeah, it was 5 years after white brothers started fucking making an argument to call themselves goddamn nigger and spin and magazine and fucking Rolling Stone. I'm talking about Eazy-E now, because that was the article that got that shit going. Niggas with attitude, they asked him to explain it, and he fucking came up with some crackpot goddamn explanation. So fucking everybody has just been justifying and going on that fucking bandwagon because, you know, you don't like yourself any motherfucking way. So somebody gave you an excuse to fucking call yourself a negative and you went with it because you don't like your fucking self. You basically view yourself the way they fucking view you. You think you don't, but fucking look at your actions and look at how you treat yourself and then ask yourself what the fuck is really going on. You know, I see all these black guys, man, you know, tattooed, right, Lupin? You know, head to goddamn toe. You know, and how many black guys did I know back in the 80s who were tattooed? I mean, the handful that I knew who got, like, put in the hospital and shit, right? For being white, right? Because they were tattooed. That's what white boys do, right? Now what am I seeing? All the shit that white guys do. The beards, the long ass, I'm not talking about, you know, like some African style beard. I'm talking about, like, you know, down Georgia, backwoods of Georgia type shit, you know, like, or, you know, I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. If you pay any goddamn attention, if you've ever left the fucking ghetto to see what the fuck is going on out here, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of shit. And then it's like, you know, I go in the newsstands, you know, another contradiction. Here it is in Portlandia, you know, marijuana is illegal, but you can buy High Times in any goddamn newsstand. And they got black people in there, too, as props, really, you know, to justify the motherfucking, you know, pothead culture. These same, you know, people, I mean, come on, man. Did they really give a fuck about black people? You know, it's like some white folks I met not too long ago talking about they practice voodoo. I'm like, how? Oh, don't be like that. That's what you mean, don't be like that. You're talking about ancestor worship. How the fuck do you fit into this? Come on, man.
come on. You know, it's like I asked somebody not too long ago. I said, if a black guy was born and raised in Japan, would you consider him Japanese? He goes, well, no, of course not. I said, well, then what the fuck? You know, come on, man. Come on. You know, what is it? Is it nationality? Is it what? They're contradictions. These are paradoxes. So how are you going to get to the truth if you don't fucking question the paradoxes? How are you going to get to the truth if you don't question your goddamn self? Look, Sean Paul Sachs, I loved him dearly. You know? Digested everything I could. And I know I say this way too many goddamn times, and I'm sorry, dude, but I'm going to say it again. Can a man condemn himself? Now, if you're going to say that Sachs wasn't on the left, if you're going to say that, you know, Sachs wasn't on the left, you know, really, go back to the fucking mailroom. Don't listen to this show anymore. And, you know, just join the goddamn and, you know, Ayn Rand fan club. I mean, you know, why are you here? Well, Camus said that, well, you know, Camus had his own goddamn problems, right? I mean, what about the tree, right? You know, I mean, as far as I know, Sachs may have been, you know, self-destructive with his personal habits and shit and how he lived his life. But, and even then, he wasn't ridiculous about it. But, I mean, no, yeah, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. There's no comparison, man. You know, was Sachs perfect? No. But the whole point of existentialism is what the fuck is perfection? I mean, this is what I love about French philosophy and goddamn general. What are we really looking at? Is what we're looking at really what the fuck we see here? Is this a pipe? What are we really looking at here? Let's start to peel the goddamn layers and look at the contradictions. Look at the paradoxes. Lupe, I know. I'm not going to talk about deconstruction because we'll be here for another goddamn hour. But, you know, Jackie Derrida, do the research. You know, if you're supposed to be lefty, right, whatever the fuck that means, do the research. You know, Eric Fromm, read some goddamn books other than regurgitating this, you know, the same old fucking arguments. Start to spread the fuck out. Spread out. If you want to argue about capitalism, read Adam Smith. How is she going to fucking, you know what's going on? You know, stop trying to just win arguments. Win the fucking whole thing. But see, what that tells me is that the left doesn't know what the fuck it really it wants down at the end of the road. It doesn't know what the fuck it wants to get to. And this is why everybody goes in circles, huh? Right? You got people out here who don't know how to identify ethnically, nationally, fucking racially, which is ridiculous since it's unscientific, but you know, we want to hold on to it anyway, right? Shit like the one drop rule, we're gonna hold on to it anyway. You know, because the contradiction is these people are like, well, you know, Obama's black. Is he? His mom is white. Well, you know, how come, you know, I've heard some libertarians go that goddamn far and say, yeah, well, why shouldn't he be considered a white guy? Yeah, I agree. Why not? That'd be a hell of a lot more realistic than what the fuck we're doing now. I mean, I'm sorry, I have to say this. I mean, I feel bad for that kid, you know, over there in Frisco. And it was a nice thing they did for him, and I'm not knocking that at all. And anybody that says that did is a motherfucking liar. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's a fucking paradox that when gay people get hurt and when things like this happen, right, with white folks, that Obama can make a special video message. Something happens to black people, there has to be massive community embarrassment in order for him to say a fucking word. And even then, he doesn't say anything other than blacks are basically the cause of their own motherfucking problems. That's exactly what he told the NAACP. That's the only thing he says to black people, period. You're lazy. You ain't about nothing. You don't do nothing. You lazy niggas. And it's like you basically deserve what the fuck is happening to you. Does he say that to the Mexican community? Because he's not talking to Puerto Ricans and Dominicans at all. But does he say that to Mexicans? Yeah, Dominicans, right? I mean, hey, man, you know, my DR brothers and sisters, I love y'all. But what the fuck is going on, man, with this black, white shit now? And, in fucking Dominican Republic. Not to say that it wasn't always there, right? Because I remember Gomez. You know, I remember Gomez. And I remember the rumors that were, you know, flying around at that time. And, you know, nothing happened, which is good. But, you know, to say that racism, black-white racism, does not exist in the Spanish-speaking world is stupid. What is it, my man Pagun? Is that how you pronounce it, Lupe? You got stamps and comic books of this, you know, big lip Sambo black character in Mexico that my former Mexican wife swore to, I mean, she swore to me, was not racist. But, we, you know, same thing with Frito Bandito and fucking Speedy Gonzalez. She didn't have a problem with him. But it's like, hey, she didn't have a problem with him until, you know, she started reading books of her own about propaganda, racist propaganda. Then she didn't find it funny at all. Right? Because she opened her mind and she educated herself. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else, black man. How many, you know, Spanish-speaking people do you know call themselves Spics? Unless they're trying to make a political point. They do not refer to themselves that way. You know, so yeah, solidify the hate, you know, all you want. And think you're being cool. And you want to follow these fucking hipsters and shit who will follow whatever goddamn trend comes and goes, you know, so long as they can afford it. And when they get tired of looking freaky and doing all that shit and shave and cut their fucking hair and put on a regular goddamn suit, they go back home and ain't get a fucking job. Right? In the meantime, the rest of us would be at goddamn Walmart and shit, you know, not able to pay your fucking bills, but working, you know, 12-hour shifts. So, you know, it is what it is, right? And obviously, the left doesn't know what to deal, how to deal with it, because it's still looking at the goddamn, you know, Russian communist model, and Stalin in particular, and can't see anything else. Oh, yeah, they'll mention Trotsky, they'll mention Lenin, but then they don't want to talk about state terror. See, you know, the other paradoxes. These are paradoxes. These are paradoxes. And, you know, to not mention these things, man, is to not consider them, to not, you know, meditate on these things. Well, you're just asking for, you know, just pure political fucking chaos, you know, in terms of ideology and philosophy and what have you. And it's stupid. It's stupid. You know, because there's no need for it. I mean, there's been enough people out here who are smart, not just the talking head scholars and intelligentsia, but I mean, people who have actually, you know, given a vision of what things could look like. But see, in order to do that, then a lot of people had to give up something. White folks had to give up their privilege, and people of color had to give up their misconceptions about themselves and about white people. You know, and I'll end it with this. You know, I had a lovely conversation with a couple in their 90s. They've been together for more than 70 years. And, you know, they're a wonderful couple. And whenever I see them, I always enjoy, you know, spending some time talking to them. I like speaking to my elders. Because they were there, man. You know? They were there. They survived all of that. And see, and to not listen to them and to not take their wisdom, you know, again, that's just pure suckerism, man. But anyway, this white man gave me two examples of racism that he encountered, at, you know, as a white man, in terms of when he was dealing with other white people, dealing with black people, you know, in his youth, and you know, before the war, before World War II, and he was just like, "Hey, man, I was embarrassed and." Well, I mean, I'm not going to go into the stories because, you know, they're kind of detailed. But the point was, he said that he would have spoken up more if he thought that somebody supported him. It's the same thing I say with police officers. If they get support, they will stand up against the corrupt ones. If you support the decent politicians and not the ones who sing and dance for you, you will get results. But you have to know what it is that you actually fucking want. Now, if you don't know what the fuck you want, and you need to be told what the fuck to do, then, you know, frankly, you need to get out of the fucking left. Because, you know, the whole point of living in a democracy, and I'm not talking about US, I'm talking about democracy,
I'm talking about Indian-style democracy. For, you know, first off, you know, that whole bullshit about Greece is just that. It's bullshit. Read the dialogues of Plato, and you'll find out that women didn't have any say. The slaves weren't supposed to have any say. That's a small class of the intelligentsia, you know, led by people like Plato, were to direct everything. That's how he defined democracy. See, I'm looking at the Six Nations, you know, Federation. That's my model of democracy. That's the American democracy that I'm talking about. Pre-Columbian, real goddamn democracy. Okay? You know, where women had a say before white women had the fucking vote. And I can get into a long list of you know, positives with that, but, you know, and there's no point throwing yeast on something that you should already know. You should already know this. And, you know, the fact that, again, we're in 2013 and we're at this position, we're at this point where now, you know, we allowed them to tell us that it was good, that the Cold War was on because the Russians, well, they listened to everything, and the East Germans, this, the Stasi's in your bedroom, and we need to oppose that because that's against human freedom. Now you get on the goddamn bus in America and they record everything that's being said. Who's keeping these recordings? Where do they go? What is the point of this? And if this is what the whole Cold War was against, what is going on now that the left can't even identify? Well, I'll tell you why, because the left doesn't even fucking talk about the goddamn Cold War. Doesn't even talk about the Stasi. Just doesn't even want to admit it. Doesn't want to talk about it. Doesn't want to talk about it. You know, communist East Germany? Doesn't want to discuss it. Romania? Don't want to discuss it. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Alright? That's the real corruption. Hypocrisy. This is the Angry Indian. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, healthcare, including reproductive health, was women's business and respected as such. Reclaim your healthcare choices by keeping yourself informed and sharing information with your relatives. Inform yourself about Plan B, known as the morning after pill. Plan B will protect you from becoming pregnant after a sexual assault or unprotected sex if taken within 72 hours. Make sure your local Indian Health Service facility carries Plan B. It does not require a prescription and should be provided upon request. It's your right. For more information, call your local healthcare facility. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
A lot of people don't like my comedy. A lot of white people don't like my comedy. A lot of white people say this to me. Hey, Amir. Hey, get on stage, you make your jokes about white people, you say white people this, white people that. What if I did something like that, huh? What if I got on stage and I said, yeah, black people are like this, Muslims are like that? You'd probably call me a racist, wouldn't you? And I say, yeah, I would. Yeah, you should never do that. That's bad for your health. They're like, well, you do that, Amir. You do that. You get on stage, make your jokes about white people. Don't you think that's a kind of racism? Don't you think that's dun 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 reverse racism? I said, no, I don't think that's reverse racism. Not because I think reverse racism doesn't exist, right? If you ask some black and brown people, they'll tell you flat out there is no such thing as reverse racism. I don't agree with that. I think there is such a thing as reverse racism, and I could be a reverse racist if I wanted to. All I would need would be a time machine, right? And what I'd do is I'd get in my time machine, I'd go back in time to before Europe colonized the world, right? And I'd convince the leaders of Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Central and South America to invade and colonize Europe, right? Just occupy them, steal their land and resources, set up some kind of, like, I don't know, trans-Asian slave trade where we exported white people to work on giant rice plantations in China. Just ruin Europe over the course of a couple of centuries so all their descendants would want to migrate out and live in the places where black and brown people come from. But of course, in that time, I'd make sure I set up systems that privilege black and brown people at every conceivable social, political, and economic opportunity. And white people would never have any hope of real self-determination. Just every couple of decades, make up some fake war as an excuse to go and bomb them back to the Stone Age and say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior, and just for kicks, subject white people to colored people's standards of beauty, so they end up hating the color of their own skin, eyes, and hair. If, after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of that, I got on stage at a comedy show and said, hey, what's the deal with white people? Why can't they dance? That would be reverse racism. Well, thank you. You've been great tonight.
This is FSNN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Would you like to hear the lie that judges tell jurors every day?
Listen up. This matters. I'm Lewis Black, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute with ACLU attorney Bill Newman.
In a criminal case, the judge instructs the jury, you decide the facts, but you jurors must apply to those facts the law as I explain it. And if the prosecution has proven the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, then you must return a verdict of guilty. The problem with this instruction? It's not true. It's not true at all. And the judge well knows that, but most jurors don't. Jury nullification, the right of jurors to say no, to just say no to a prosecution, was central to the Bill of Rights. Indeed, Thomas Jefferson famously believed that jurors' right to nullify was central to democracy. Writing in the Champion magazine recently, criminal defense attorney Patrick Barone cautions that care must be taken when considering nullification because juries can use that authority to enhance and augment the power of the elite rather than to limit it. But, Barone continues, jury nullification can and should be a critical limitation on legislatures bent on promulgating and judges bent on enforcing ever more overreaching criminal laws. The take-home lesson here, criminal juries should know of their right to nullify because that power can constitute liberty's last defense.
The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the American Civil Liberties Union because freedom can't defend itself.
Do you know what white folks call people like you and me in private? Niggas, dogs. niggers.
Hello, this is Maurice Muhammad, Minister of Information with Black Unity, and you can always find us at www.blackunity.name.com, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.